This weekend, we remember the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross to pay the penalty that you and I rightly deserved. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's righteous standard. Every one of us deserves death and hell. Thankfully, Jesus did pay our debt and rose again, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. He offers everyone salvation. All you have to do is believe that He is the Son of God, that God has raised Him from the dead, and repent of your sins to accept God's free gift of salvation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Today we remember the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem that preceded His death, His execution, His trial and crucifixion, and then subsequently the resurrection from the dead that we will celebrate next Sunday. We will look this morning in Matthew chapter 21 and also in Luke chapter 19 to look at these passages that portray or give this account that we see with Jesus Christ entering Jerusalem triumphantly. And in Matthew chapter 21, beginning of verse 1, we read, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them." And immediately he sent them." I want you to, first of all, remember here or notice the providence of God. God provides us with what we need. And especially when we're in His will, when we're doing what God wants us to do, God provides and meets the need. And here you see that it was actually, and we'll see here from Scripture, that what was happening was actually a fulfillment of prophecy. You see, in the Old Testament, in the law of God, in the Psalms, in Proverbs, in the prophets, you actually see a foretelling of Jesus Christ. You see actually a proclamation of how Jesus would live, and that He would come. And in fact, even in the sacrifices in the Old Testament that were a part of the law, you actually see prophecies of Jesus Christ. And Jesus actually became our Passover lamb. We'll talk more about that next Sunday. But here we see that Jesus obviously came to the earth not to do His own will, not to do what He wanted to do, but to carry out a very specific task and to fulfill the plan that the Father had from the foundation of the world for Jesus Christ to die on the cross and to be saved. And yet there were certain things that needed to be fulfilled because God had prophesied through the prophets, through the Psalms, through the law of God, had prophesied and had foretold various things that would happen, and Jesus actually fulfilled those things. And you see here the providence of God providing for this donkey and the colt. And Jesus says, "If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately He will send them." So you see, not only the providence of God and the foreknowledge of God in Jesus operating both as man and God, knowing that this would happen, knowing that there would actually be, that the colt and the donkey would be there, and then giving the disciples words to say to anyone who would question them, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing with my donkey? What are you doing with my colt? The Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. And going on in verse 4, we read, and this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and this is one phrase you'll see throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, throughout the accounts of Jesus Christ and the various gospels that tell us about Jesus. You'll see this phrase, and this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey. And this is from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This passage was fulfilled hundreds of years after it was prophesied that Jesus Christ, the king, would come lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then in verse 6, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and sat him on them. So they went, they were obedient, they brought the donkey and the colt, they put their clothes on the donkey, and then sat Jesus on top of the donkey. And in verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And this is why this day is called Palm Sunday, because branches were cut down. Very likely many of those trees would have been palm trees. And certainly it makes sense to put palm trees and palm fronds down on the ground. The branches of palm trees are palm fronds, and certainly palm fronds lay flat, and they would be easy to walk over, yet would create a sort of a carpet, almost like, you know, when VIPs come in, sometimes there's a red carpet, and certainly you see this with actors and actresses when there's also singers when there's various presentations and award ceremonies. There's the red carpet, and yet here you see the people, the multitudes, laying down their clothes on their coats and whatnot, and also branches, probably palm fronds, on the ground, so that the donkeys would walk on this, and kind of giving him as much dignity and as much of a royal entry as is possible, as they could possibly give him. Verse 9, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Now this word, Hosanna, in the Strong's Concordance, this is word 5614, it means actually, oh, save! Now that's interesting. Jesus Christ came to the earth to save us from the just penalty of our sins. You see, every single one of us has sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. There's no one that is good enough to get to heaven. None of us can say, well, you know, if we get to the end of our life and we make it to heaven, none of us are going to be able to say, well, I lived a pretty good life, and I'm here because of my own righteousness. I'm here because I had a perfect attendance in Sunday school, or because I helped old ladies across the street, or because I was super nice to everyone. I showed the love of God to people. Certainly, we are supposed to be nice. You know, I was preaching on this one time and mentioning about how we don't get to heaven by helping old ladies across the street. And one of the people in the congregation was offended that I didn't want to help old ladies across the street. And that's not the point at all. Certainly, we should help old ladies across the street. We should be nice. We should be kind. We should show the love of Christ. But that is a doing that is something that is our duty as Christians. We are supposed to live in such a way that we can show forth His love, and we are to do good works because He has saved us. But that does not save us and does not contribute to our salvation. We need a Savior because we have sinned, because we have fallen short of the glory of God. And no one is going to enter into heaven and say, hey, I'm here because of my own righteousness. The only way, if you get to heaven, the only way you will get to heaven is because you have repented of your sins, because you have confessed your sins before God and asked Him to forgive you of your sins, because Jesus Christ's blood is applied to your sins. And so when they were crying out, Hosanna, they were actually praying and crying out to Jesus, oh, save us, Jesus. Save us. We are in need of your salvation. The word means Hosanna. It is an exclamation of adoration. So it was a cry to save, for Jesus to save them. And it also, in addition, was an exclamation of adoration. They were praising God and praising Jesus and giving Him all the praise and the glory that was due unto Him, that was due His name. In verse 10, and when He came into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the people that didn't quite know who He was were wondering, who is this, and why is the town in such an uproar, and why are so many people crying out, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. And then, so the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And that is from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, and also Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11, that Jesus is there quoting. And you may recall, if you have read the Bible, hopefully you've read the Bible from the beginning to the end, and I would encourage you even to do that every year, to read God's Word, to meditate upon it, to think about it, to ponder it, to apply it to your life, to live in such a way that you are living according to God's commandments. Not that living according to God's commandments saves you, but this should be our goal. God, Jesus tells us to be holy as He is holy, and He defines holiness based on His Word. He defines sin based on His Word, and He defines holiness based on His Word. But if you have read in the Old Testament, you've read that there were certain animals that they were to sacrifice, and they were to sacrifice in Jerusalem. And if Jerusalem was too far for them, they would actually take their animals that they would sacrifice, sell them, and then bring money to the temple and exchange that money for animals. They would actually buy animals at the temple. Yet what had happened over the years is that there was a business that was, there were businesses that were set up, and the people who were changing money were and who were exchanging the money for animals were actually making money on this process. And Jesus was fed up with this and said, "My house, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Then, so the blind and the lame, the sick, were coming to him, and Jesus was healing them in the temple. In verse 15, "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they rejoiced and were glad that God had visited mankind." Is that what it says? No, they were indignant. Why? Because the people were praising someone other than themselves. They wanted the people's praise, and they were jealous anytime Jesus, the people praised Jesus, and anytime the people showed adoration to him. And so it says that when they saw the people crying out and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, and what they were really asking him was not just, "Do you hear this?" but "Stop this." They were saying, "Don't allow the people to say these things about you." And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" And that is from Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. That prophecy, those exact words were prophesied, were spoken in Psalm, and were written in Psalm 8, 2. And yet the people were fulfilling that prophecy by raising up their voices and perfecting praise and crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And I want to turn over to Luke chapter 19, where Luke also gives an account of this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And Luke sheds a little bit of light and a little bit of different perspective than Matthew. In beginning in verse 37 of Luke 19, "Then as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen." So Luke here shows that they weren't just praising God. They weren't just saying, "Hosanna in the highest." They were actually praising God with a loud voice. They were not being quiet about this. You know, it's kind of like if you watch a NFL football game, sometimes the home team will flash lights on various displays that will say "louder, louder," and the people will yell and scream as loud as they can. And the volume is so loud that sometimes the opposing team's quarterback can't shout out plays and have his team hear him. And certainly when Jesus is in the house, we should praise him as loud, if not louder, than fans of a football team or fans of a baseball team or fans of a basketball team cheer on their team. And we see here they were shouting with a loud voice and saying in verse 38, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And so the people were praising God. And in the previous verse, we see that they were praising God for the mighty works that they had seen also. You see, we are to praise God for who he is, and we are also to praise him for what he has done. So to praise him for who he is to praise him that he is God, that he is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, that he is righteous, that he is holy, that he is merciful, that he is in fact a God of wrath that takes vengeance upon the wicked. But he is also a God that is a God of love and a God of grace and a God of mercy. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omnipresent in everywhere all the time. And we are to praise God for who he is, but we are also to praise him for what he has done. What has he done for you? In fact, you may even be thinking, well, God hasn't done anything for me. I know some people don't believe in God and don't believe that God has done anything for them. But look, you are alive today. You are granted the ability to stay alive, to breathe, to have the blessing on of experiencing this life. Every one of us today has been given a gift of life and has been given a gift of the ability to actually be alive today. God has actually given us our breath, and we need to praise him. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Again, these are the same Pharisees that, as Matthew told us, were indignant that the people were praising God, that were praising Jesus. And they're telling him, "Rebuke your disciples. Tell them not to do this." In verse 40, "But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." And that is, he is referencing Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 11 there. And you may have heard this phrase, and there's even songs about this. "Ain't no rock going to have to cry out, because I'm going to lift up my voice and praise to the King of Kings." And Jesus here shows that if the people were silent, that even creation, even rocks, something that is lifeless, would actually cry out and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In verse 41, "Now as they drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when the enemy will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And there he is actually referencing some passages in the Old Testament, including Micah chapter 3, verse 12, where Micah prophesies that not one stone would be left upon another, but that the foundation would be plowed. And you can read the historical account of Josephus talking about what happened to Jerusalem in AD 70, and you can see that this actually happened. The temple was torn down. The army of Rome surrounded Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem looked for God to do what he had done in the Old Testament to deliver them. But as Jesus had said, on that generation, his judgment would be poured out because they rejected him. And here you see on the triumphal entry, you see the people praising Jesus. Yet just a few days later, as we'll talk about next week, you see that they actually cried out for him to be crucified. And Jesus here is talking about that. And then in verse 45, and he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priest and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. So they were plotting, the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests, the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders of the Jewish people were trying to plot, trying to see how they could put an end to Jesus Christ. And they did come up with a plan to put an end to him. But thankfully, as we will talk next week, thankfully, that was not his end. His death was not his end. It was only the beginning. And in fact, it was what he was sent forth to do from the foundation of the world. But no, when we cry out today, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, we are simultaneously crying out, oh, save, Jesus, save. And we are also crying out an exclamation of adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who came to this earth to live a life and to die on the cross for our sins, so that your sin and my sin could be forgiven. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This weekend, we remember the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross to pay the penalty that you and I rightly deserved. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's righteous standard. Every one of us deserves death and hell. Thankfully, Jesus did pay our debt and rose again, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. He offers everyone salvation. All you have to do is believe that he is the Son of God, that God has raised him from the dead, and repent of your sins to accept God's free gift of salvation.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want to be near.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We pray that as you listen, God will use the content of this program to help you better understand His Word and strengthen your relationship with the Savior. While listening today, if you have questions or would like us to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Each spring, we set aside a day to specifically recognize the fact that Jesus rose physically from the dead. This event is the centerpiece of all human history.